In keeping with waiting to do the Passion until Thursday, the Gospel readings are the Passion, essentially, and so we're going to stick with Mark and the triumph with the first piece that we read for the entry into Jerusalem. This is really marking the most significant week of the Christian year, the beginning of Holy Week, and Christ's entry into Jerusalem. It doesn't quite feel celebratory yet, for me at least. I know after Christmas as well, Peter and I both said it didn't totally feel like Christmas. It's a very strange time. And this last week, I picked up, somewhat apropos of nothing, except it was on the shelf, Franny and Zoe by J.D. Salinger, which I had never read before. It was there. It was my dad's copy. It cost 75 cents in 1964. And it was not at all what I expected. I'm not sure what I did expect, but it certainly isn't what I expected. But it consists primarily, and some of you probably know this, but of three sort of diatribes by a sister, a mother, and a brother who are all adults. The sister is suffering a nervous breakdown after reading The Way of the Pilgrim about praying without ceasing, praying the Jesus prayer over and over and over, and seemingly finding huge discrepancies and clashes between what she's read and is internalizing and the life that she sees around her. All three characters are barely likable at all in their Manhattan snobbiness in one way or another. The mother is, though, trying to reach her daughter, and she continues in vain to offer her chicken soup, which the daughter declines repeatedly for a diet of cheeseburgers. The brother is an actor. He's deeply narcissistic, but he also, especially at his mother's request, is trying to help his sister snap out of it. He isn't very gentle about it at all, and you really start to lose hope in any of them. But then, somewhere about three quarters of the way through each page, you start to give him just a little bit more credit, until at the end, he offers something that I underlined, and I'm going to leave out the profanities because there's quite a few of them. He's talking to his sister. "I'll tell you one thing, Franny, one thing I know, and don't get upset. It isn't anything bad. But if it's the religious life you want, you ought to know right now that you're missing out on every single religious action that's going on around this house. You don't even have sense enough to drink when somebody brings you a cup of consecrated chicken soup, which is the only kind of chicken soup Bessie ever brings to anybody around this madhouse. So just tell me, buddy, even if you went out and searched the whole world for a master, some guru, some holy man to tell you how to say your Jesus prayer properly, what good would it do you? How are you going to recognize a legitimate holy man when you see one if you don't even know a cup of consecrated chicken soup when it's right in front of your nose? Can you tell me that?" This is a pretty great book, actually, and it's quite theologically intense, none of which I expected at all. So I'm going to just leave that for a little bit of wisdom to go into Jesus entering Jerusalem, whether or not we feel like celebrating in the moment. So today, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city of perhaps 25,000 full-time residents then. It's a big city, but it's not a huge city. It's a time of the Passover, one of three major pilgrimage celebrations. It's a time of celebration, but it also has pretty significant political undertones. Passover is celebrating the deliverance of the Jews from captivity. So sometimes there were acts of sedition that would accompany the celebrations. So Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is timed both to celebration, but also to heightened tension. As Matthew shows him acclaimed the Son of David, as several of our readings, this would only feed into the connection of the history and the potential conflict. This is also something that is done in fulfillment of a prophecy. And whenever you're speaking to an audience that would understand that, this tells us that Jesus is the Son of David. Presumably, the crowd has gathered in part because of the works that Jesus has recently performed, most recently the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We admirers want to see things that surprise and entertain and make us feel better about finding that holy man and what's in it for us. But Jesus has already shown himself to be a threat to the system. In his raising of Lazarus, the Pharisees and chief priests conferred and saw the danger that Jesus posed. "If we let him go on like this," they said, "the Romans are going to come and destroy our holy place and our nation." So when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he does so to much admiration but also extreme tension around what he represents. He's come from performing a miracle, but he does not come with the intent to bring peace. He's about to shake things up. He's about to confront the artifice and the institutions that have been constructed in the midst of one of the most important celebrations connecting to history and tradition. Maybe this is where Franny had some of it right too. He's about to say, what you think you know, you do not know, and what you think is important is not important. But the people don't know this yet. They're celebrating him. They're thronging him, the son of David, the king. This year, as with last year, Holy Week feels like it should be all the more important, all the more critical in the midst of the times that none of us would have ever expected. None of us have ever experienced it. But even with just focusing on this entry into Jerusalem, it's a little bit hard to feel celebratory. There are still feelings of grief, although I'm not sure that it's even that. There are still feelings of shock that there are 550,000 people who have died and climbing. There's a state of devastation. There's a state of confusion. There's a lack of connection from this past year where we've been largely isolated from each other. Even so, even trying to put ourselves in context, it's hard to feel celebratory, historically even, especially as Jesus enters bearing the weight of history, the cloak of tradition. And he's about to say to all of us who are finding it celebratory that it's not what this is about. Anything that has been built up to make ourselves feel comfortable is wrong. Jesus is going to overturn tables in the temple. He's going to challenge the wealthy. He's going to denounce the religious. He's going to say that all of this is wrong, and if you follow me, it will lead to the cross. And of course, the crowds, none of us, necessarily want to hear that. Many of us want to hear, if we're honest with ourselves, simply that Jesus is here to make us feel good and raise people from the dead. It's easier to have the comfort and not the challenge. In the midst of this time of challenge, we want that comfort too. And the comfort that Jesus offers is the way of the cross. But it's the way of love. It's the way of saying, how can I best take care of those around me and who is suffering the most? So what if we still aren't feeling celebratory? The rhythm of the church year has brought us to this day and to this celebration and this waving, not quite of palms, but of Douglas fir and possibly some ponderosa. But it's the beginning of a hard journey to crucifixion, which must happen before the resurrection. So if you aren't feeling it in the rhythm of the year, in the day, then we can look to the cup of sacramental chicken soup, the wave at a neighbor through your pickup truck window, feeding the chickens, or seeing the first arrow leaf. We saw arrow leaf beginning to bloom on Lewis Butte today. If there is a way into the celebration, maybe it's the sacrament of this world. Jesus processes into Jerusalem with palms waving. He's going to lay out a path that few of those cheering are going to be willing to follow. But the path that Jesus travels this week, and we travel with him if we choose, is the path of love. It's the path that rejects the institutions and other things that make us feel safe and tells us instead to walk in love no matter what that cost. It's a path that tells us that he will walk with us through the passion of our time and through his own passion, through the trials and the difficulties and the pain and the sorrow, through the valley where we cannot see the end, all with the hope that there will be a better time, and that the way to arrive at that new day with Christ is to be willing to travel with him each step of the way. Today, we cheer the entry of Christ, and we ask ourselves, will we make this journey with him? Will we live into that hard and difficult beauty of all that love? Amen.